I'd like you to take a second. I'd like to imagine you to imagine that you're about to have an interview. Now, this interview is important for many reasons, but namely, it will secure you a job in the field of your choice. Now, this interview that you're about to go through is going to be incredibly challenging because you're not sure if you are completely prepared for the interviewing process. But you are sure that if you do well on the interview, you will do well on the job, and so you find comfort in that fact. Now, once again, I would like you to imagine that this is an interview not for just any job, but rather, this interview is for your entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, I recently went through an interviewing process for a new position within the company that I work for. And this new position meant that I would be leading a store of 14 to 20 people. It meant that I would be in charge of how the store is run inside and out. I would be responsible for the attitude with which the store was run. And in retrospect, it was a big step forward. And during the interviewing process, I was asked many questions regarding how I would handle different situations and scenarios if I was to become a store manager. Now, as I've been working for this company for 4 years, I was able to answer most of the questions head on and was able to have very specific examples. And looking back, I find many parallels between an interview with being able to do the job and my Christian life that I currently live and the job that I'm interviewing for now. So how does my present interview compare to my higher future one? Let's go through some points and see. One, an interview takes preparation. You can't expect to go through an interview without thinking about the questions that the interviewer will have. One has to be ready to give examples about their experiences in relation to the questions that will be asked. Two, an interview is supposed to test your mettle, to see where you stand based upon your actions and how you may feel. Three, an interview also shows if you are ready for new and also more responsibilities. If you have been doing well in your job and have shown that you can do the job, then people in charge tend to take a look at your progress. But one must show the abilities to do the job. And so, whether we think about it or not, we're interviewing for our spots in the soon-coming kingdom of God. Now, it is we who must show God through our actions that we want to be a part of what it is he is offering. You know, he's called us and given us the tools to learn and to grow and to become the right person for the right job. It points out in Ephesians 4 and verse 11 through 16 that we are called for different purposes, but we are all called for the edification and growth of the church. If you will, though, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6. Ephesians 4 and kind of mirrors 1 Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works in all. In verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Drop to verse 12. For as the body is one and it has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. In verse 14, but in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? So we see that we are not all called to do the same thing. And we do not all go at the same speed. But the fact is that we each have a job to do based upon the certain skills that God has blessed each one of us with. And we are to be cultivating these skills. Now you can turn to Ephesians 4, and verse 15. Ephesians 4, and verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, with this in mind, don't we owe it to ourselves and to those in the church to be doing our very best every day, to be overcoming and striving towards the end goal? If we don't, then the question is, why are we here? In a letter to Timothy, Paul encourages him and those who would be hearing the letter to continue on in hardships and trials. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2 and verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, will suffer persecution. Verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul encouraged those of his time and us today to hold fast. He knew that once we started down this path, it would not be easy. But he says that we need to stand as good workers who are not ashamed of truth for what we stand for. Now, after the interview, and after I knew that I'd be getting a store to manage, I started thinking about my responsibility to be the rock and the example for my new store and my employees. And so I made a commitment to myself that I would never compromise with anything that related to my job and my responsibilities. But, to be honest, there have been a few times where I've failed, and I've slipped up, and I've compromised. But the fact is that if you do the job, you have to keep going forward. This promise to myself also made me take a look at how I was doing in my spiritual journey. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, Paul speaks about how we are to be building daily. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. We'll read to verse 15. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work and of what sort it is. So Paul says that we have to be careful how we do our job. We have to be careful how we are building each day. If we don't put everything into our spiritual lives, we will not have a great reward. In verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. In a recent Standing Watch program, Mr. Link spoke about our responsibility as Christians to be the overpowering light of the world. He spoke to us about being the lights on the hill, which can be found in Matthew 5 and verse 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So it is what we do individually every day that God is going to be looking at. So again, I'd like you to take a second. And I'd like you to think about a lighthouse. Now, a lighthouse has a very specific function and a job. The purpose of a lighthouse is to provide light for mariners at sea so they are able to have a fixed point of reference to aid their ability to navigate in the dark when a shore or an offshore hazard cannot be seen directly. You know, it is our job to provide light for people in perilous waters, to be the good examples in this world of darkness. We can be the ones to be showing people where the shore is so that they can see where they're to be going. I'd like to read you an excerpt from the Smithsonian website of AmericanHistory.edu, and it's on lighthouses. It says, lighthouses have always had two principal functions: to warn of danger from a spot that a sailor could see from a safe distance both night and day, and to be the guides into harbors or anchorages. So lighthouses have become symbolic monuments of society's efforts to reduce the hazards of being at sea. And these structures were often constructed under precarious circumstances by skilled builders and were maintained often at great peril, personal risk by dedicated lightkeepers. Now, shouldn't we be trying to reduce the hazards of living in this world by showing our lights and our right examples? Matthew 7 and verse 24. Matthew 7 and verse 24 doesn't quite talk about a lighthouse, but it talks about building a house. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And so it is perilous for us to live this way of life. And we will go through the winds and the rains and the storms just as the lighthouse keepers of old did. Except our rains, our storms, and our trials that we must endure and stand fast through are trials. You drop to verse 26 in Matthew 7. It says, talks about the foolish man whose house was destroyed because of lack of actions. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So we see that our foundation must be in God. If it is not, then we will fall by our own efforts. And this is because we are powerless to do the right thing if we do not build our foundation on God's laws. You know, if we decide for ourselves what is right and wrong, then we have no support. We must commit, as David did, to trust in God in every matter, whether it's the jobs in this world or the jobs we have as Christians. If you turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 1, we're going to read the whole psalm here. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly removed. Drop down to verse 5. My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Verse 11. God has spoken once. And twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render each to each one according to his work. So we see that many times David gives us the thought that God was his rock. He built his tower on the rock of God's word, and it is how he lived his life. It says in verse 2 that God was his rock and his help, salvation. He also goes on to say that while there may be trouble, he would not be greatly removed. This whole psalm deals with our reliance on God at all times. It is only when we do this that we will be able to do whatever job we may be doing well, because God will bless our progress. Another part of the job is being able to give account for your actions. Turn to Romans 14 and verse 11. Romans 14 and verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And so then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. You know, we are to give account for our actions, because our actions are who we become, who we are, and who we are striving to be. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God will judge us by his word. And so part of a job is being able to give account for your actions. So what happens if we become lazy in what we are doing and we don't take action? In the book of Proverbs, King Solomon gave some advice regarding work and what happens when a lazy person doesn't work. In Proverbs 21 and verse 25, it says, "The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands have refused to work." And also Proverbs 18 and verse 9, "And he who is slack in his work is a brother to a great destroyer." And so in this last proverb, Solomon says that someone who is slack in what he does is a brother to a great destroyer. But why is this? Well, if you look at a lazy person who does not work well and is not helping others, either himself or those he is working for, to prosper, then he is destroying what could have been useful. Turn to Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Read an interesting proverb here. King Solomon is saying, "I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles and its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come alike a prowler, and your need like an armed man." And in verse 30, it speaks of the lazy man's field and the vineyard of the man who is devoid of understanding. And he says that everything was gone over with weeds. If you read in Matthew about the story of the sower, you will recall the weeds came and choked out those who had heard the truth, but did not continue. Continuing in verse 32, he says that he stopped to consider and to learn a lesson. And he says that it takes just a little sleep and a little slumber for weeds to start growing. Now, it doesn't take a long time for sin to creep into our lives. If we don't see it and let it continue to grow, then it will come to destruction, as it says at the end of verse 34. And so we can see that this proverb is indicative of the era in which we now live. That is the Laodicean era. And it is described in the book of Revelation as a time when people would be rebuked for what they know and yet do not do. Now, God doesn't do this because he is mean. He says that he does it out of love. Revelation 3 and verse 19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Now, this is an era of people who may see the truth, but for whatever reason, they've decided to become lackadaisical and they don't change. Or maybe they don't want to change, but for whatever reason, they don't. Revelation 3 and verse 15. "I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." You know, so the question then becomes, is this parable talking about me? Can I put myself in the shoes of King Solomon as he did and learn the lesson to continue growing and to be overcoming my sins? Whatever job we have or find, we must do it with everything that we have, as it says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Our jobs will never stop, and they will continue on into the kingdom, and so we must continue to do our jobs. You know, the beauty of our calling is that we have a forerunner. Christ was put here on this earth to go through tests and trials that we all go through, as it says in Hebrews 4, verse 14. Let's turn to that real quick. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Christ understands what it's like to be human, and on top of all, he was able to go through this life not sinning once. You know, it also says in John 17 and verse 1 that he finished the work that God had for him. Let's turn to John. John 17 and verse 1. We'll read to verse 4. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And so, he finished his work, and he now sits at God's right hand, pleading our case when we ask for forgiveness. Hebrews 4, and verse 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And it is bold and with boldness that we must come in front of God when we need help. We cannot be afraid to ask for help when we need it. We have to be careful to not let Satan wear us down to the point that we feel that God is no longer willing to help us. God wants us to succeed, and he wants us to overcome. And the fact is that God now still has a job for us to do. If you turn to John 17, John 17 and verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Verse 23. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Also, if you turn to Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 15 through 18. This was after Christ had already risen. He was talking to his disciples, and he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands upon the sick, and they will recover. And so Christ has given us this job to be preaching the good news of the coming kingdom of God, and also to be preparing ourselves for his return. And it doesn't matter whether or not Christ returns within our lifetime or not. What matters is that we are doing the right thing, and that we are busy doing what we know to be right. Christ said that he who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not worthy. You know, we cannot allow ourselves to let down, especially now. But let us be as Paul says and admonishes us in Hebrews 10 and verse 36. Hebrews 10, verse 36 through 39. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We have a job to do, brethren. Let's do it.